are blessed that God has given them here for this time. I pray it's forever that we've got them. So we're very blessed, very honored, very privileged to have people who know how to deliver and share and bring the word of God. That's got nothing at all to do with what I'm talking about today, but I just felt compelled to say that. If you're an elder, stand up in the church. Any elders in the churches, a pastor, stand up in the church. Have a wee look around in case you don't know who they are. Now give them a round of thanks, of applause for their service to the kingdom. Amen. Have a seat, guys. We appreciate you and we love you. Some are more seen than others. But Pastor Debbie will agree with this. The some that are not seen are as important as the seen. The ones behind the scenes are as important as the ones in front of the scenes. And I'm not sure why I'm saying this today, but I felt led by the Spirit to say it. Because we need to honour people who have committed their entire lives into service for the kingdom of God. Who was here last week? Well, that's a whole new congregation. Hallelujah. We are a handless church. Praise God. Open your Bible up at Matthew chapter 6. Bible looks something like this. You can look in different colors, shapes, or forms, sizes, small and large, all different. Large print, small print, mini print, any way you want. It's all the Bible. And often they gather dust in the shelves of the houses. We search them out every time we might be going to church. We might be going to church. But church is an option on Sunday. We're living in dangerous times. And if you, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it's going to go again. If you think church is something you do when it suits you, and we can compartmentalize God to fit into the box of our life, you know, you need to get some of your chains removed. Because that's like religion that's come upon you. This is not an option that we get to do when it suits us or when there's nothing better on the calendar. I am, how many years into this? Since I kind of fell out my mother's womb, I've been coming to church. And today, I would say, it's not because I'm one of the pastors here, I'm as excited about Jesus as much as I've ever been. And maybe even more. So for me, I would crawl up the street to get here some Sunday mornings. Crawl. Desperate to be in the presence of God. Now, I'm away again, so we'll come back to this. Matthew chapter 6. Keep your Bible open at verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, come and see us. We will steal one for you from somewhere. We will get, I'm sure that's one of the Ten Commandments, do not steal. We will get one for you from somewhere. We will give you a Bible. I told you, we're not using PowerPoints over the summer. So you might get lost a little bit with some of this because there's some depth about to come your way and we'll go to one other scripture. So I'm keeping it easy for you. We'll go to one other scripture. Last week we spoke about the significance of understanding that we are always, not sometimes, always living in pursuit of some kind of treasure. Our behavior in any situation or relationship is, in fact, our attempt to move towards that particular treasure. And in Scripture here, Jesus identified this down to two, just two, making it easy, life-shaping treasure categories. Now listen to this. Either we are living for earthbound treasure, that's all of those physical experiences and physical relationships and possessions, all of that stuff in the right here and right now, or we are living in the midst of those things with an eye towards treasure in heaven. Praise God. That's the model of Matthew chapter 6. And then Jesus warns us, now listen to this, you cannot You cannot serve two masters at the same time. Amen. This is not a popular sermon anymore. Because the world we live in, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, the way it looks, we want a bit of everything. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. There's always something that is ruling our hearts. And what rules our hearts will then form our choices and behaviors. That's what's going on. Jesus says, so it's important. Jesus says with his own mouth, it is spiritually impossible for you to be serving two masters at the same time. And here's the problem in the church and in the world. We somehow have bought into the idea that we are able to do that. And we cannot. We cannot. We're always seeking either the temporary treasures of earth, expecting those treasures to do for you and I what they cannot possibly do because they are not the glory that can satisfy and fill our hearts. Or we are connecting, amen, to the eternal kingdom that has now come into our lives. Understanding that this moment, this very moment, is connected to the great redemption. That this moment we are living in right now extends way into eternity. And I live as if that's true. And because of that, because it is true, I now choose to act in a way and with words and behavior that's shaped by a desire to move in the same direction that the kingdom of God is moving. Hallelujah. Now we must remember, dearly beloved, we must remember that we are after this or that, and at any God-given moment, I cannot be after both of these things. Impossible. Now sometimes life is hell and life is war. You ever figured that out? Life is war. Sometimes it's plain sailing, and sometimes it's easy, and sometimes there's no drama and no problems, but nonetheless, life is war, and this war, let me tell you about this war is not fought between you and other people, that's an illusion, it's not a war between you and situations, it's not a war between you as a believer and a fallen world, it's a war fought directly for control of your heart. And it's a war between these two masters that rages every single day in our lives and in our hearts. Daily I pray, and daily we should pray, God, I am in desperate need of your help today. Every day. I will not get through that day if he does not help me on that journey through that 24 hours. See what I'm saying to God there? That's a confession of my own neediness. I am a needy man. I'm a needy person. I know how I can lose my way. I need to know I'm loved. I need to know this lady loves me unconditionally. I know you do. Whisper it to me. Embarrassing people in here. But I also know I can lose my way. I'm just human. I'm just humanity. So this got me to thinking, could it be that we as the children of God who proclaim the deity and the sovereignty of God, who talk about the unrelenting nature of the grace of God, could it still be possible with the world that we're living in that we still and often function out of fear? Is that the probability? I think it is. How much of what you do somehow in some way is motivated by something less than faith? How much of what you do in this life is actually motivated by fear? Now hold that thought. Hold that thought right there. Because back here in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 19 through 33, Jesus introduced this concept of a life that's driven by earthbound treasure. And then almost instantaneously, almost immediately, he talks about what? Worry. It's the snap of a fingers. Worry. What else? Look at it. Anxiety. And he talks about fear. Right in there in the same passage. Because that world where our focus is in, I've got to have this physical thing. I must have this physical experience. Always results somehow back to a life of worry and anxiety and fear. Let me tell you something, dear ones, today. You will find no greater rest than when you live in this moment from the vantage point of eternity. Praise God. Praise God. Now listen to me. Stay with me this morning. If I have been guaranteed a sure place in forever with the Lord, and I have, praise God, if His covenant promise for me is not just His presence in this moment, but ultimately that I will taste the final victory of salvation, then in order for that to be true, He, being the Lord, He right now must guarantee me every needed provision. Hallelujah. That gives me goosebumps. Every needed provision guaranteed and every needed grace along the way. If I don't have these things, let me tell you, Pastor Debbie, I'll never get there. I'll never make it. I'll come up short all the time. But here's what I see in Scripture. The guarantee of future grace. The surety of present grace. The guarantee of future provision, the guarantee of present provision. You will either, listen to me now, you will never, never rest better, ever, I'll say it again, you'll never rest better than when you view life from the vantage point of eternity. And that's what we must do. That also means that the future reign of Christ, praise God, now check this out, guarantees His present reign. Wonderful. He's reigning today because His future reign would not, could not happen in the way described in Scripture if it wasn't preceded by a present reign that moves history to that point. Wonderful. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen for the rustle of pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, keep your finger still in Matthew chapter 6, don't lose that. Look in there at verses 20 to 25. This stuff blows your mind. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. I'll say that again. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, verse 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Hallelujah. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when He comes, those who belong to Him, then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, all authority, all power. Verse 25, look at this. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Praise God. What's happening in the here and now. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's happening in the here and now. Jesus is working out the spoils of his victory in the cross. Jesus is reigning, and he must reign until the last enemy is under his feet. The last enemy is death, and then we get the final kingdom. Hallelujah. So listen to this. That's good stuff. Notice the language there in 1 Corinthians, in verse 25. Four words, for he must reign. Hallelujah. For he must reign. Must is what's called an imperative. It's a word of necessity. Paul is arguing that this must happen. He must reign now in order for us to ever have the surety of his future reign and our part in his future reign. How many of you figured out that you're part of this? Part of what's going on in the eternal. And so the future grace of eternity guarantees to me every provision and every single present grace that I need. The future reign of Christ necessitates a present reign. And listen to this now. Jesus. You may not be ready for this, but hear this anyway. Jesus can only guarantee. He can only guarantee the delivery of his promises of that which he is sovereign over. Are you hearing this? Let me say that again. Jesus can only guarantee the delivery of his promises over that which he is sovereign. Let me go on. His promises and provisions are absolutely dependent on his sovereignty. Because he can only deliver to you with a guarantee those things that he has actually promised to deliver in the places that he rules. Are you hearing this? And so this perspective, where I begin to understand the plan of God, when I begin to focus on the surety of my future, not only gives me surety in the future, but it begins in my life to give me a remarkable security and a remarkable peace and rest and a remarkable surety and confidence in the here and now. Praise God. Because, let me say it again, if I am ever going to be there, if I am ever going to get there, then this one who is reigning and will continue to reign must deliver to me all the graces and all the provisions that I need in order to move towards the thing that he has promised me. Praise God. That's what's going on in the here and in the now, right now today. But still, even although all of that's true, but still we wonder and still we worry. Still we wonder and still we worry at the what at or the what if, and then we experience fear and anxiety again, regardless of all the surety, regardless of all the promises. Still we try to live a me focused life instead of a provisioned focused life, a need focused life instead of a grace focused life, and worry drives our living instead of rest in his grace. In this current world that we are living in, let me tell you something. It's very dangerous to take on our shoulders the job of meeting our own needs. That's dangerous. It could be said that one of the things that's been argued in this passage when Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He does. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. It's God's job. It's become God's job to define our needs. Why is it God's job to a certain degree to define our needs? Because we don't do a good job at that. We're not so good at that stuff. We include things that are not needs. Is that right? I do. We include things that are not essential for life. Now if you, let me explain it, let me bring it down, because you're struggling with this morning. If you have children, who's got children? We pray for you all the time. It's hard out there. But if you have children, you know that Dad, I need. Mom, I need isn't really always a need. Is that right? But they're convinced it is a need. Completely. 100% convinced I need that. And once they are convinced in their minds and heart it's a need, here are some of the things that begin to unravel and unfold. All of a sudden they feel entitled to it. They actually feel it's their right to demand it. And they will also judge our parental love by our willingness to deliver it. Ooh, tasty. And here's the thing. We do this too. We identify treasures. We identify desires of our hearts. We look at things that are not needs, things that God has not promised us, things that are not necessary graces or necessary provisions. They take on this word called essentiality. They take on essentiality to us because they make us feel entitled to them. We feel it's a right to demand them. And listen to this. And we judge the faithfulness of God by his willingness to deliver things to us that he's never, ever promised to deliver us. And this results in greater fear. This results in greater fear, but now something even more significant in here. It raises doubts in our lives about God. And we don't tend to run to somebody for help who have come to actually doubt. Let me tell you something, dear ones. You and I, we were created to live for purposes bigger than ourselves. It's absolutely true. What is it like? I'm talking about loving, worshipful communion with God. That we would then live an outward, Godward life, a life motivated by his purposes and for his glory. And not only an upward focused life, but an outward focused life driven by a call to live in community with others. But rather than living that way, rather than living an upward life, an outward life, we get caught in an inward world. This happens after making sure that all the things we determined we need, we get. We get. What a dangerous, dangerous way to live. Dangerous. My heart is not engaged by upwards worship. My heart is not engaged by outward love. That's what it means to forget the eternal kingdom and to live for present treasure. It always ends in worry and it always becomes a need-based forum of living. And may God deliver every one of us for such a thing. Every one of us, I include myself in that. I wonder in this room this morning, have we begun to doubt the goodness of God because he hasn't delivered on those things that we desire? I wonder. I wonder. Are you experiencing anxiety and fear because you can't seek comfort from somebody you've now come to doubt? Open your Bible again at Matthew chapter 6 with me. Because in here, as we go down to verse 25, Jesus reminds us of creation. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Look what he says. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Amen. He says, look around. That could be a sermon in and of itself. It's something we need to do more of in this world. Look around. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. There is clear indication, every day visible in the life, that God does never not abandon the work of his hands. Never. Jesus is saying, and he's speaking to people, he's saying, in your anxiousness, in your temptation to forget the present reign of Christ and the guarantee of present grace and present provision, God has actually done something. Look at this. God has done something so loving. He has done something so incredibly gentle, something so tender. He has given all around you and I reminders of his faithfulness, that he is not going to abandon the work of his hands. And if God would care that much for birds and flowers, how much more would he care for those made in his image, those now covered with the costly blood of Jesus Christ? How much more would he not care for you and care for me today? Church, you have a reason to rest, because creation preaches to you and I every day a gospel of absolute and total divine faithfulness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah, and hallelujah for the faithfulness of God. And then look at scripture again, because he kind of reminds us of family. How important is family to you? Family should be everything to every one of us. We have our blood family and we have our church family. We're blessed to have two. Some might say not so. But in this family, hallelujah, in this family, we have been given a father who is tender towards us. We've been given Abba Father who cares for you and I. A father who has willingly and faithfully and eternally taken on the burden for our provision. Amazing. Look at verse 32 in Matthew chapter 6. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus essentially says this. It makes sense for the pagans to worry because they don't know the Father. But you shouldn't. You shouldn't. You have this relationship, and this in this relationship, Dad always knows best. Did you hear that, my children? In my house, they know that's true. Jesus says, do you not understand that you have been blessed with a familial relationship to the Lord of Lords, to the Creator, to the Sovereign One, and to the King who is still and remains over all? He is our Father, and He, by His own volition, has taken on the responsibility for my provision and for your provision. So why in the world? I'm not having a go. But why in the world would we worry? If you're a child of God in here this morning, why in the world would you worry? Hallelujah. I mean, do we think now we are smarter than God? Because that's kind of what we're saying. Do we think that God is somehow getting eternal aged in his old age and forgetting things? We live that way sometimes. Jesus reminds us then of the kingdom. Listen, church, you know this already. We are not waiting for the kingdom to come. He's given the kingdom to you already. He's given that to you. And the word of the Lord is fear not. Fear not, because the Father has chosen graciously to give you the kingdom. You see, when I'm stuck in that moment, when I'm driven by earthbound treasure, why don't you come, Gabriella? When I'm stuck in this thing regarding earthbound treasure, driven by an anxious sense of need, what I've done is this. I have forgotten creation. I have forgotten somewhere in all of the mess that I'm a child of God. And I have forgotten the gift of the kingdom. So no wonder I am anxious. And Jesus said, would you stand with me here? Just close your eyes for a second. We're nearly done now. Jesus says, why would you live that way when our life now is directly connected to what's eternal and what's unstoppable? The glorious reign of the risen Christ. When future graces guarantees your present grace, why would you have no bigger focus for concern than, I've got to get what I need? And Jesus is speaking by the Holy Spirit to some today, and again he's reminding us, do not live that way. Seek my kingdom and seek my righteousness. Let us pray. Father, I glory in your holy name today. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those who seeks your face continually. Hallelujah. So that my heart will always rejoice. Your word says that if I seek you with all my heart, with all my soul, that I'll find you. Amen. Help me to know exactly, Lord, what that looks like. Lord, show me how to avoid distractions that keep me looking at and interacting with things that are less than you are. And Father, hallelujah, you are near. Praise God. You are near. You live in me. Your kingdom is here, and now I want to be in the center of what you desire me to be, and to do so that you receive the most glory. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me now the wisdom to seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And all the things that I need in life should pale in comparison to your goodness and greatness and glory. And so, Father, thank you for the promise that if I seek you first, then you will add all that is needed. And as we sing this final worship song at church this Sunday, just let the words that you've heard today just sink in a little bit. I love that phrase in Scripture. Ponder these things in your heart for a moment. Hear if God is speaking to you. There's not going to be any kind of responses in that sense, but respond to God. Ask Him to open up your heart and your mind to receive the Word of God today. There is nothing in this for you to ponder throughout this week, and the Spirit of God will bring deeper revelation as you seek His face in your life journey. Let's worship the Lord together. Be blessed, guys. Thank you.